Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
How is everyone today? So good to see you. We had a little technology glitch this morning, so sorry getting on a little bit late. And it just reminded me during COVID, when we first started Zoom, I had never even heard of Zoom. And my password was actually help me 6258 for Psalm 6258. So I felt that this morning when we were panicking trying to get on. So despite that, the Lord has a great word for each one of us this morning, including myself, to trust Him and rely on Him and to cross over our Jordan rivers in life. So we're in Joshua 4 this morning. So let's open up in a word of prayer. And then I will be reading from the New International Version. So let's pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we just pause from our getting ready this morning quickly and trying to jump on soap and just rest in You. Lord, we recognize that You're in control of everything, of every quote unquote Jordan River in our lives. So we thank You for this opportunity to see how You operate, how much You love us, and what words You have for us this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray that You would speak through me and that You would open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to what You would have to say to each one of us today. Let us each take a rhema from this chapter and apply it to our lives, to not only be able to see You more clearly and to glorify You, but to share You with others. We love You, Lord, and we pray all these things in Your powerful name. Amen. All right, well, once again, we are in Joshua 4 this morning, and I will be reading from the NIV. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to their camp, where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. Now the priests who carried the Ark remained standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything the Lord had commanded Joshua was done by the people, just as Moses had directed Joshua. The people hurried over And as soon as all of them had crossed, the ark of the Lord and the priests came to the other side while the people watched. The men of Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh crossed over, ready for battle in front of the Israelites, as Moses had directed them. About 40,000 armed for battle crossed over before the Lord to the plains of Jericho for war. That day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they stood in awe of him all the days of his life, just as they had stood in awe of Moses. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Command the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant law to come up out of the Jordan." So Joshua commanded the priests, "Come up out of the Jordan." And the priests came up out of the river, carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. No sooner had they set their feet on the dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stage as before. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal at the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, "In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God.'" The word of the Lord. So good. This is one of my favorite chapters in scripture that my family and I have meditated on and used over the years. So I'm excited to dive into this chapter with you. And imagine this miracle happened after 40 years of wandering through the desert. Imagine 40 years. Probably for most people on this Zoom call, that is more than half of our lifetime. And if you think about it, actually, God made the covenant with Abraham regarding the promised land over 400 years prior. So, in reality, the nation of Israel was waiting for much more than 40 years. The nation, the entire nation, it says, finally entered the promised land. And if you read Joshua 3 yesterday, you saw the nation of Israel enter Canaan in a dramatic way by following the Ark of the Covenant, which housed the Ten Commandments and represented the presence of the Lord. And crossing the Jordan River, which was at flood stage. You've seen the flooding in the news. It's been horrific and very powerful and very damaging. So imagine this raging river at flood stage, and the Israelites are told they're going to cross it. The priests carrying the ark went ahead of them, and as they entered the river, the flow stopped, and everyone was able to cross over and passed by the ark, representing the presence of the Lord once again, who carried it on a firm ground. They stood firm on the ground in the middle of the Jordan. A note in the Believer's Commentary reads, "God, represented by the ark, led the people into the Jordan, even as he would lead them to victory west of the Jordan. He was demonstrating that his presence, which caused the waters to flee before Israel, was their hope of triumph and not anything in themselves." Let me say that again. He was demonstrating that his presence, which caused the waters to flee before Israel, was their hope of triumph and not anything in themselves. To God be the glory. What a miracle. Not only had they finally arrived at the promised land, the Lord prepared such a grand entrance for them, an entrance that he did not want them to forget. So before he allows them to possess the land and prepare to take Jericho, he has them build a memorial with 12 stones drawn by 12 men, one from each tribe. You might be asking yourself, why would he do that? Why did the Lord want them to do that? Well, a couple reasons. All the tribes participated in building the stone memorial, so it was a reminder that the miracle was for all, not just some. And did you notice from where God instructed the stones to be retrieved? In the middle of the Jordan is mentioned five times in this chapter, and it was where the priests were standing with the ark. Most times, the deepest part of a river or other bodies of water is the middle. It probably did not go unnoticed to the Israelites that the ark, or the presence of the Lord, was located in the scariest and most dangerous part of the crossing. Many times we must notice the Lord, we most notice the Lord and sense his presence when we are in a dark or fearful stage of our life. And here on this profoundly fallen world, there are plenty of them. I think the Lord was saying to them, don't worry, I'm with you each step of the way of your journey, even the most difficult steps. In addition, God explains in verses 6 and 7 that the memorial was to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. Look at that last word, forever. Here we are, some 3,431 years later, still being reminded of and praising God for this miracle. FYI, theologians and historians believe that the Israelites crossed the Jordan River into the Promised Land during the spring, shortly before Passover, very significant, shortly before Passover, in the year 1407 BC, beginning in the month of Tishri, which is around September, October. The crossing took place on the 10th of the month of Nisan, 1 month and 3 days after Moses spoke his final words. Also, this date was 5 days short of a full 40 years since the Exodus from Egypt, and just in time to prepare for the Passover. Speaking of Passover, we know that Passover was the foreshadowing of our Passover lamb, Jesus, who shed his blood so that the spirit of death could pass over us. Did you notice that not only 12 stones were taken from the middle of the Jordan to create a stone memorial on dry land? In verse 9, we learn that another memorial was created in the middle of the Jordan where the priests had stood while the people passed by. Verse 9 reads, Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. The believer's commentary shares, the stones in the riverbed speak of the identification with Christ in death. Those on the west bank speak of the identification with Christ in resurrection. I think it's so beautiful that verse 9 ends with, and they are there to this day. I imagine them being continually washed over, just like our sins, but also seen during droughts when the riverbed dried up to once again serve as a reminder that God is with us during the droughts of our life, during the flood stages of our life, and during those days when things are running smoothly. A note in the Care and Counsel Bible states, "It could be said of every new day that we have not passed this way before, as was stated yesterday in Joshua 3, and as the Israelites were experiencing. They had never passed over the Jordan River during flood stage. Every day brings new experiences and new challenges that stretch our faith in God. Without God, people are left to wonder what direction to take. With God, believers can know that every new day is in His hand and He will guide according to His eternal plan. As the Israelites followed the ark in order to know the way, so we can look to God and His word in order to know the way He wants us to go." Have you ever gone hiking and you see those piles of stones called cairns that show the way to go? That's just like our God, and we need to be reminded of that, just like the Israelites. As a matter of fact, these 12 stones that Joshua set up at Gilgal represent the first of seven stone memorials or cairns that they were commanded to create and are mentioned in the rest of the book of Joshua. Not only did God want the Israelites to remember this miracle, He also wanted to remember that Joshua was their new anointed leader. He established the authority of Moses with the parting of the Red Sea, and now He declared Joshua as the country's new leader after the death of Moses, with the stopping of the flow of the Jordan. Verse 14 states, "That day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they stood in awe of him all the days of his life, just as they had stood in awe of Moses." What makes Joshua so special that God chose him? He listened and obeyed to the Lord. And under the direction of the Lord, Joshua closes out this miracle by commanding the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, once again, the representation of the presence of the Lord, to come up out of the Jordan. Verse 18 tells us, "No sooner had they set their feet on the dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stage as before." No denying that this was a work of the Lord, just in case there was any doubt or any question. And if you read many commentaries, they all try to explain how it may have occurred with an earthquake or some wind or something, but the timing is so miraculous. We have to give the credit and the glory to God for this miracle. Verse 23 in part reads, "The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea." He reminds the Israelites and us as well that the Lord previously performed this miracle and a similar miracle. He did it before and he can do it again. GodQuestions.org tells us that a comparison is made with the crossing that took place at the Red Sea under the leadership of Moses. This emphasis on God's miraculous provision was an ongoing sign to the people of Israel. Don't forget that while they were in the desert for those 40 years, how did they eat? They received a miracle every day through manna. So this was a culmination of daily miracles and God reminding them, "I am your God. I am the source of your provision. I am your source for everything." And verse 24 explains the why behind the what. "He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. You might always revere, put him in a place of awe. He is in control. And all peoples of the earth, did you read that? That includes you and it includes me. Do you see the powerful hand of the Lord at work? Are you looking for it in your life? And do you revere him? Are you in such awe of him that you are creating miracles, memorials of your own to remind yourself and others of his miraculous work in your life and his love for you? A note in my life application states, the memorial of 12 stones was to be a constant reminder of the day the Israelites crossed the Jordan River on dry ground. Their children would see the stones, hear the story, and learn about God. So I asked earlier, do you create memorials? Do you have traditions, special dates, or special places to help you and your children learn about God's work in your life and remember it? Do you take time to tell these God stories to others so that you are reminded and God is glorified, and telling others how he forgave you and saved you? Maybe you might not have the miracle of the parting of the Red Sea or the crossing over the Jordan, but just the fact that he has forgiven you and saved you, that in itself is a miracle. Do you keep a prayer journal where you write down your answered prayers that you can share and boast on the Lord to others? Look what the Lord did. Or supplying your needs. Retelling your story will help keep memories of God's faithfulness alive in your family and in your own personal life. And I can speak to this personally. My visual aid for today are some of my family's Joshua stones. When our children were young, they're now 26 and 27 and don't live at home anymore. But when they were young, every year on New Year's Eve, we would go find a stone and have, and it's funny, the permanent marker has definitely faded on them, but I can still see that God's miraculous power has not faded. This is a rock of mine from 2006. And on the back, I listed things where I saw God moving in my life and that I wanted to thank him and glorify him for and not forget. And this reading made me go downstairs outside to the big pile of our rocks. And I hadn't read them since we moved to this new home, since our kids moved away. But it was so much fun going through and remembering how in 2006, he brought healing to my son's asthma and to my daughter's struggling with anxiety. Apparently in this year, I must have done Wednesday morning fast and the Lord spoke to me. I forgot all about that. I'm like, maybe I should start doing them again. Also, I remember that we had some wallets that year that were lost. Every one of them was found, including one that I had put on top of my car and took off after returning a video. Remember the days of renting videos? And I had put my wallet on top of the car, took off, got home, realized I didn't have it, prayed, and my kids were little, and we went back and found the wallet in the street. And that story, we told that story over and over and over again and sang, I once was lost, but now I'm found. So it's important to, whether you do actual, like what we call Joshua stones, or you keep a prayer journal, or sometimes I like just getting together with friends and boasting on the Lord, talking about him. What's he doing in your life? Once again, we might not have those huge, grandiose miracles such as the crossing of the Jordan, but we certainly have miracles that are just as powerful and just as beautiful that we can remember and share and use to encourage each other. So I have quite a few. I brought up a bunch of these stones, and I was so blessed to be reminded of the miracles that the Lord did in my family. Excuse me for a second. So that was, remembering the past. What about right now? And I'm going to take you back 2 years just to bring in this part of what the Lord asked me to share. When it was 2023, some of you might know that famous basketball player that has the number 23, Michael Jordan. So I had said, oh, it's 2023. It's going to be our Jordan year. And not like Michael Jordan, but we wanted to jump high and be successful. But we wanted to say to the Lord, we said to the Lord, Lord, what is our Jordan that we need to cross over? What are those things that you want to take out so that we can fully enter life to the fullest? And many of you know that this weekend, the Lord is going to show his powerful hand to over 70 participants in the Freedom Conference. To me, this is an example of crossing over a Jordan. They've been, out in quote unquote the desert for 12 weeks, feeding on the manna of bread, and they're about to cross over. And God is going to use Pastor Brendan, Pastor Danielle, and all the speakers, all of the volunteers. He's going to delight in their service to remind the people of the amazing works that have been done in their lives and what God can do in their life. And then they're going to pass by the presence of the Lord in the middle. Remember, this was in the middle of the Jordan, the deepest, most difficult part of the crossing. And people will be coming to others in prayer with the most difficult points of their life, sharing, bringing it to the light, and crossing over into the fullness and freedom that God has for us. So we don't need to wait for a Freedom Conference, even though they are awesome. If you've never done Freedom and never done a conference and allowed the Lord to use Fusion in your life in that way, I say do it. If you've never served, do it. Every time I have served a Freedom Conference, the Lord has taken me back to some of those deep places in my life and continues to, as Pastor Brendan says, peel the onion, get to those really deep places that need to be exposed and from which I need freedom and you need freedom so that we can enter the promised land. It's such a beautiful story for us to be encouraged to cross over. We don't have to wait for a 2023, a Jordan year. We can experience crossing the Jordan every single day. So go to those deep places, go to the presence of the Lord. If you want to envision an Ark of the Covenant, or you just want to envision beautiful Jesus on his throne, that's what I do, to access the presence and allow him to help you to cross over. Turn over those things to him, which you need to be released of so that you can enter the promised land that he has for you. And don't forget about those memorials. I just want to mention one more time, they're not just so that we can remember, they're for others. And many of you know that I've shared. Or the Lord put on my heart to share our testimony with our Lord, our daughter's freedom with anxiety. And that was such a profound thing that we never want to forget. We actually wrote a book as a memorial to glorify the Lord so that we can boast about God's miraculous powers to others and they can be encouraged with that. So, whatever God is calling you to do to create your memorials, so that you remember, it's going to be different for each person. Go for it. Create some memorials. Share God's miraculous powers. You will be encouraged, and others will as well. And ultimately, the most important thing, God will be glorified. Keep turning the glory back to Him. And I love how AI wraps up this important miracle for us by sharing the crossing of the Jordan, along with the baptism of Jesus, continues to serve as a powerful metaphor for Christian believers today, symbolizing the transition from death to life, from sin to salvation, and from the old to the new. We are reminded in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. What memorials or cairns are you and I creating to remind ourselves of this truth, to glorify God, and to point others to Him? So let us pray, and especially want to lift up the Freedom Conference that the Lord is using to bring that beautiful crossing over from death to life, from sin to salvation, from the old to the new for everyone involved. And for those of us who can't make the Freedom Conference, no worries. We're going to pray for that too, that God would bring a personal Freedom Conference in the next couple days as we seek Him and ask Him to help us cross over our own personal Jordan rivers. So let us pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you did not leave the Israelites on the other side of the Jordan. Thank you that even though I'm sure it took longer than they wanted, you crossed them over into your promised land, into the fullness of life, life abundant that you have promised each and every one of us. So, God, I just pause right now from this teaching. First and foremost, give you the credit and the glory for all of the crossings of over of Jordans in my life and each life represented in this call. I just ask, Lord, that as we enter as a church, whether we're there or not, we as a church family and church body are entering this Freedom Conference to lift up those who are serving, those who are speaking, those who are testifying to your power and reminding us of who you are and how much you love us. I pray that you would bring a fresh anointing to each of the speakers, to each of the volunteers, that you would give them a supernatural energy to be used by you to assist people to see your presence. And that ultimately, every single participant that is receiving freedom this weekend would create memorials and cairns and boast about you. Lord, I thank you that you have a Jordan River crossing for each one of us. Would you just give us supernatural insight into wisdom as to how you would want us to pray and fast and to seek your presence in order to cross over into the promised land that you have for us? And finally, Lord, just give us wisdom to know how to create these memorials and these cairns and these stories, testimonies, objects, whatever you want to use, Lord, to be reminded that it was your hand that created all of these miracles. Lord, thank you that you are the source of our miracles and just the fact that we can pray all of these things in the powerful name of Jesus is the biggest miracle of all. We love you and we say amen. Have a blessed day, everyone. Cross over those Jordans and have a blessed rest of your day. Bye-bye.